Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Ooh.
Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. A community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Ms. Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you another unfiltered, candid conversation. I am so happy to have another opportunity to intrigue, provoke thought, and lift someone up today. I hope that you are able to learn something from this show that will help you in your future. I want to give a quick disclaimer. If you're new to the Black Sister community, I welcome you. How you doing? To know you can be safe and yourself here. This is a space created for Black women to breathe. How about that? I practice this thoroughly and openly, and I suggest that you guys do the same. No need to have it all figured out here, because we're here to help you recognize the light within you and want you to see yourself shine the way that I do. So, ladies, let's be free. The blessing of being a woman is a phenomenon in itself. The beauty, strength, and struggles are all a part of the badge of honor we receive. However, Black women are 40% more likely to experience postpartum depression and develop a mood or anxiety disorder such as depression, anxiety, OCD, or rarely, psychosis, either during pregnancy or in the year after giving birth. Let's get clear on what postpartum depression is. Involving intense psychological depression that typically occurs within 1 month after giving birth, lasts more than 2 weeks, and is accompanied by other symptoms such as social withdrawal, difficulty in bonding with the baby, and feelings of worthlessness or guilt. When Black women experience postpartum, it goes undiagnosed, and seemingly so because of several reasons, but just to name a few. Resources, lack of support, superwoman complex, denial, other mental health issues, structural racism, discrimination, unexperienced clinicians, pride, that I was going to name a few, that was quite a bit. It seems that Black women can put everyone's feelings before their own, which limits the space for them to see themselves as a person. Because they don't experience being treated like a person. The Black community has a history of emphasizing personal strength and self-sufficiency, which can decrease the chances that Black women will seek assistance when their sadness becomes more than a baby blues. There's this expectation on us as women of color that we have to be these superheroes or superhumans. So strong that we're not allowed to be vulnerable. With that being said, I would like us to use today as an opportunity to discuss the experience of the Black woman and breathe on how this emotional upset creates fear, which makes it hard to be honest about what is happening. In the Black community, this fear hovers over our heads and makes us think that because we feel sad or unable to, we see most doing that this will put us in jeopardy of keeping our children. It's also known in the Black community that we are fearful of CPS because we are aware of how our children are taken more often than other children from different ethnicities. Today, I have Ms. English Grover here with me to discuss this issue and share her personal experience with us to spread the awareness. Ms. English Grover is the owner and chef at the Itis Food and Catering, which opened in October of 2018, from a passion and love for cooking and caring for others. They offer formal buffet and a la carte style catering services. Ms. Grover has been cooking since the age of 12 years old, but professionally catering for 5 years. I have Ms. Grover here on the line with me, and I want to say, hey, sis, how you doing?
Hey. I am great. Hey. How is everybody else doing? How are you?
I'm doing good. Let me open up the line so these ladies can tell you just how they doing. How y'all doing, sisters? We got Miss Grover on the line. Let's welcome her and say, hey, girl, hey.
Hey, Miss Grover.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, sisters in the house.
That's right. That's right.
I am loving it, Miss.
That's right. We got energy on this happy Saturday. Come on, sisters. This is a blessing to be with each other right now. This is a blessing. I'm so happy we have this opportunity to be together and just breathe. And Ms. Grover, you see you got ladies on the line ready to chime in and talk with you. So I'm very happy that they're here to let you know they're here and we're going to do this. But to answer your question, I'm good and I'm blessed and I'm very, very grateful that you have to take some time out your busy schedule to come here and talk with us and share your experience with postpartum.
Yes, I am so excited to share this because I definitely feel like it's a conversation that is needed. It's a conversation that isn't had often, and it's so much information out here, and it's so many connections, and I just want to love on another woman who is going through the same thing or has gone through the same thing. So I'm excited to be here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Absolutely. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
It just went a little, the mute button was stuck. But I'm very happy that I could get you to take a, like I said, to take a break and just come here and breathe with us on this topic. Because like in the introduction, I just feel that seeing that number of 40% more likely, like black women are 40% more likely to experience postpartum depression. However, it's just really not something that is talked about at the table. You know, we spend a lot of time at the round table with our aunties, our grandmothers, our cousins, our big cousins, and nieces and nephews, and I just don't really hear this being brought up. So to be able to speak to another sister and you know, upon meeting you and us just talking about different issues that happen in our community, postpartum being one of them, I just said, wow, this is one that we really need to sit down and talk about together as women. There's a lot of stigma around having mental health and mental illness in the first place, let alone, okay, I was already depressed before I even got pregnant. You know what I'm saying? I was already going through some things mm-hmm. before I got to the to conception, to conceiving a child, to being in a relationship.
Absolutely.
And I think we kind of missed that as women, that we were already hurting. And to be a child in this world, it definitely adds another layer to that hurt. So I'm going to ask you, Miss English, if you could set the tone just to tell us a little bit about your relationship with postpartum, and then we'll let some of the other ladies chime in and share what they've experienced. How you feel about that?
Absolutely. I am excited to share it. So I'll start here. So prior to, I have a four-year-old now, and prior to having her, I definitely suffered and I still suffer with depression, seasonal depression, and it is real. And so it led me into getting pregnant. I had Aubrey in 2018, and my doctor kind of, you know, had the conversation of, hey, I know you're having some life changes in your household, you know, work, being pregnant, you know, all of these different things. I'm just worried about you going through postpartum. And I was like, what's that? You know, and I have a woman doctor. And so having that conversation with her, I was just like, okay, I think I got this. Like, you can sign me up for therapy. You can give me some medication. Like, I got this, right? I'm going to do this pregnancy. I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to be good. No. So I had Aubrey, and towards the end of my pregnancy, I was just, like, really, really down, like, on bed rest, home, and just really secluding myself. I didn't want to be surrounded by people. I didn't want to talk to people. I only would talk to people if they talked to me. So if you, meaning if you called me, I talked to you. If you came by my house, I may talk to you. But the gist of it was I really didn't want to talk to people. And once I had Aubrey, I went into labor. And I went into labor at home. My cousin took me to the hospital. The only person that was at the hospital with me was my mom. My cousin left to go and do something, but my mom even was in her car when I pushed my baby out. It wasn't her own fault. It was mine. You know, my hormones raging. I don't want to hear nobody talking. I don't want this. I don't want that. And everybody just leave. I delivered my baby by myself in a room with a nurse, just by myself. From there, it went to, I got home with her, and I just was like, I didn't feel a connection. You know, I have an oldest daughter, and she's 15, and when I had her, I was excited, and, you know, it was a different feel, and I wanted to love on her and hold her and things like that. But when I had my youngest, I was just like, she can stay in the crib. It's okay if she goes to the nursery. I wasn't necessarily like, let me love her. Let me touch her. Let me put her and do the skin to skin. I didn't really want to do those things. Family came to visit and at the hospital, my mom and her dad and his sister and, you know, the kids. And I had this fun. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm happy to have this baby, and I want to do this. And I, in the inside, I was just like, no. You know, I this is not what I want to do. So when I got home, it's my going home and having her. Most people will come by your home and see your baby and things like that. I would not let people come to my house. I would not let people see my baby. And it was like that for about two, almost 3 months of me saying, like, yeah, I'll let you know, like, you know, when people are, you know, her immune system is built up, then maybe you can come by. You know, I did that for months and months and months, and people let me do it. And nobody said anything. And it was just like the up and down. It got to the breaking point for me was, I went to therapy. I had therapy sessions, and I met with a therapist, and my doctor was just like, you know, at my six-week checkup, you're definitely dealing with postpartum depression. And I was just like, okay, that's just saying that I'm depressed. We already know this. You know, like in my head, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, we already know this. Like, I'm going to see the therapist. I'm going to take these medicines that you're giving me, and I'm going to just go about my day, and this is just what it is. But on the flip side to this, what it looked like in my house wasn't clean. I wasn't cooking dinner. I was barely getting up. Like, I would only get up to, you know, feed her, or I would get up to take my daughter to school and come back home, and that was it. Like, I didn't really socialize or anything like that. And, yeah, so, like, I went to therapy, and my therapist, he talked to me, and we, you know, had these sessions, had these plans of how, you know, I would move forward, and it still just was not registering. Like, the feelings of, like, helplessness and not necessarily, I was feeling alone, but I felt like I couldn't talk to people because they wouldn't understand, you know, how I was feeling. And it got to a place of, like, the ultimate breaking point for me was, I decided I didn't want my kids anymore. I decided that I was going to give my kids up. And if it was not for a woman at the courthouse that when I walked in with my kids was like, you have a mother. She said, you know, you look like you have a mother. And I was like, what you mean? She said, you don't want to do this. And she walked me into the hallway, and she like literally cried and talked to me. And she was just like, I'm not going to allow you to do this. I'm not going to allow you to sign your children over because this is a decision. She said, and you look like you come from a really great background, like you have a mother who cares. And I was just like, I don't want to do this. And she was like, no, you're right. You don't want to do this. Like, you don't want to sign your kids over. And if when I say this lady sat and talked to me, and if it was not for her, I really wouldn't have my kids. Because the mental space that I was in was like, forget all of this. Like, y'all can have this. I don't want to do it. I just want to crawl into this dark hole. I don't want to come out of my house. I don't want to do anything. And she was like, I want you to go, and I want you to talk to your doctor and tell her exactly how you're feeling, and talk to the therapist and tell them exactly how you're feeling. And that was literally the turning point for me, like going in and actually telling my doctor, like, this is exactly how I'm feeling. These are the things that I'm actually doing. and having the conversation with my mom to learn that, like, she didn't know exactly what I was going through, and she was just like, yeah, I went through postpartum, and I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? And she was like, yeah, and I'm like, well, why is this, like, I've never heard this before, and she was like, yeah, I did, and I was like, floored, because, again, you know, going through depression, having the pregnancy, we always hear about the good things of pregnancy. It's never the, you know, the other side, the side that's not so pretty, you know, going through the postpartum and how you feel, your body changing and how you feel about yourself and your body and not loving yourself after, you know, is something that's not talked about. So, yeah, it took me about 6 months to, like, fully get myself to a place of even contemplating going back to work and feeling a little bit better. But even if my daughter's 4, and it's still some days that I'm just like, okay, you know. So it's still a journey. It's a journey that almost it does not end. So yeah, that is my story. I am excited to hear somebody else's story. I'm pretty sure it's some that are similar to mine, and some that have some twists and turns. So, ladies, you have the floor.
My God, today, before we even get a lady to the floor, I just have to chime in and say, sister, you know, thank you for sharing your story, but just being so authentic with it, because that is the reality, right? We have to be authentic about our feelings, especially when we're talking to a therapist and we're trying to get help. I always tell clients, yeah, how can I with the problem if we're not being honest about what the problem really is? You know, do you want to spend a whole hour with me telling me, no, that's not it? And I'm like, well, I'm sure it's not it. What more aren't you telling me? I can only, you know, do so much. So I like that you said you went back to the therapist and you was authentically honest about those feelings, because a lot of the times, you know, folks are worried about being politically correct when they're talking to the person that's supposed to help them. I'll be the first one to say, let me be the sounding board. If the first session is nothing but cuss words, fuck, shit, goddamn, and that's all you can say for an hour, let's work through that. Let's get all of that out, because that's what you feel. Someone knows initial feelings. Then we can start pulling back the layers on the hurt, the anger, the pain, you know, and the disappointment that comes with it, because we also have to pay attention to the things that sisters are going through when they're having these babies, you know, and some of the time,
oh yes,
care is by ourselves with no help and support along the way while you still, girl, please. I remember working with, you know, as a CNA and seeing other CNAs 8-9 months pregnant, like, no, baby, I'm working until I go into labor. Like, the fact that women are working to the last moment, the fact that women are still trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills, the fact that we ain't got much support, many resources, many people who even giving a damn about us, you know, and whatever core beliefs and depression one is experiencing before getting to that delivery date. You know, that it just brings out a lot, English, and I just thank God for the lady at the courthouse. I mean, I just thank God for her.
Listen,
because
you both.
It's a real one, baby. It takes a real one here, because folks out here just trying to do their job, and that's all they care about, and the empathy is just not there. So,
absolutely. You are absolutely correct. Definitely, I look back, always like, this situation could have definitely taken a turn. It definitely could have had a very different ending to, you know, and me having them, because I walked in and it was somebody who actually cared about their job and they cared about people and they cared about me in that moment. That is, it makes a huge difference.
That was,
so,
God.
Yes, honey, I'm blessed.
Yes, 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 honey. Yes, you are. And that was God, because nobody could have understood that in that moment. Like, I've worked with people that's like, I don't want to be bothered with these kids no more. They're getting on my nerves. You know what I mean? That's not that typical, I'm getting on your nerves. It's the thoughts of guilt. It's the thoughts of harming your baby. It's the feeling angry about, you know, life itself. You know, grieving the life you once had. Once you have a baby, your life changes so tremendously, and it can really put you in a rut where it's hard to pick up the pieces, you know. And when I say hard to pick up the pieces, I mean literally not taking care of your hygiene, not cleaning your house, not doing the things that you used to care about. And that's you used to care about. You know, that's what this parent, and they call it perinatal depression. We call it postpartum depression, but it's also known as perinatal depression. And it really significantly changes your balance, your hormonal balance, your thought process. This is very serious, ladies, and I hope that you're understanding how serious it is, because a lot of the times people just say, oh, this is regular depression, or I'm having a bad day. But are you having a bad day if you're thinking about harming your child? Are you having a bad day if the thought comes into your mind that says, I should go in there and smother my child? Are you really having a bad day, or something wrong here? Because that is what this is. Ladies, I'm also opening up the lines because I want to make sure y'all chime in. What you were saying, English?
I said those feelings are definitely it, amongst a lot of others.
We can only imagine. But, ladies, the lines are open. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you don't want to comment, can you please put your phone on me? But for the ladies who do want to chime in, please let me know what you're feeling and what you're talking about as we talk about postpartum. Please put your phone on mute if you're not trying to chime in, because somebody got their TV on in the background, and I can hear that show real good. But we want to let the ladies hear your voice. We want to let the ladies hear your voices. So does anyone have anything they want to share on the topic or comment on anything that has been said thus far?
This is Jessica from Chicago, and Jessica, I didn't get the young lady's name because, as you know, LaWanda, I'm still working, but I definitely wanted to show up here to catch this information. And I just love her statement that she said, you know, I just wanted to love on more women, you know, because I knew in that space that's what I needed. I also, my son is 20 now, but I went through postpartum depression after having him, and I didn't really know why. I was just crying and sad all the time. I should have been happy, but I was just sad all the time. And then in combination with that, you know, being young, being living in poverty, you know, society has already, I was a mother already, you know, at that point. And society already expects Black women to just be strong. So, you know, I think that's largely why a lot of our postpartum depression goes underdiagnosed or even unnoticed, because, you know, the world really just views Black women as can take everything. You know, anything that they dish out to us, we can take it, we'll take it, we'll find some Black girl magic and go heal ourselves. But that's unrealistic. And, you know, that keeps a lot of sisters depressed, because, you know, we start to feel like that. We start to take on those, well, if I don't do it, it's got to be done. You know, nobody's going to do it, I got to do it. So having that mentality also contributes to that depression. We can't take on everything. You know, we need to be pampered and cared for and loved on too. And I think that we need to just find that healthy space to experience that, and not just after giving birth. I mean, in our daily lives as well, weekly, you know, take that time to reset. It's so necessary, ladies. So that's all I wanted to add. I definitely can relate, and I did experience it. I don't even know when I got out of it, because, you know, it was just the ongoing cycle of things. So, you know, we deal with, like the young lady said, it was just another form of depression. Like, we have layers of depression on, like, when do we take it off?
Exactly. I appreciate you adding that in. That's my cousin, y'all, Jessica from Chicago. She has the radio show every Tuesday on AM 1870. So go ahead and check that out. I'm also on that show on Tuesdays mornings as well, along with her at 10 a.m. But what I want to say about that to you, cousin, is that it's a very real thing, you know. And I don't know if you were able to go get professional help, but a lot of the times it's just something that is going on and times when it's just going on, you don't know that you ever got out of it because you never really identified the problem, and it continued to progress and spiral into other situations. So now we have a person who may have been depressed or having some anxiety. Now we're dealing with postpartum depression, and now postpartum depression untreated is affecting other relationships and activities of daily living. And, you know, when do you snap out of it? When do you snap out of things when we don't even know what it is that I need to snap out of? I just know I'm going through something and I don't feel good.
Exactly. And then 20 years ago when I was experiencing that, you know, we didn't have therapy and counseling really wasn't that popular. It was available, but it was still stigmatized. Like, you know, you going to get help, it's like it's something wrong with you. You know, so a lot of people didn't even consider going to get no real help. You know, that wasn't an option. We just dealt with it. You know, whatever, we dealt with it, we prayed about it, and we kept moving. Like you said, LaWanda, it's from one thing to another. You just never know when did I get out. I don't really know how I got out of it. You know, my kid is 20. I still might be happy today. I still may be suffering from postpartum right now, you know, but
my gosh.
And I'm still. But just seriously, though, you know, there's so many, when you're young and then you're in poverty, like, what? When are you not depressed? So that was just a real thing for me, you know, and it was, and everybody around me, even the people in my community, nobody was going to get no counseling for anything 20 years ago. No, they weren't. That was kind of like a white people thing. I hate to say it like that, but that's how that was viewed in our culture. And in our community, you know, like you only do that when you like need some serious help, but we did it and didn't recognize it.
Exactly, and it comes from the idea that has been passed down from one generation to the next, and that's that strong Black woman complex. Because you're supposed to have your own. You're not supposed to depend on anyone else for anything, but still let a man be a man. You're supposed to be sexy, but not too sexy or thirsty for a man. Still show some femininity and be desirable. You're supposed to be able to do for others and for themselves without showing weakness. You're supposed to deal with disappointment, but not cry and show your true emotion. You know, when you're dealing with all of this stuff and you got all of these things that you told are like the rules to being a successful, strong Black woman, you then begin to feel like, well, if I'm supposed to be all of these things, where the hell do I breathe? When do I get to have that big sigh moment? When do I get to just be? When does that happen? And now I got a child who I have to be there for, and I have to be providing for you. And so whatever my life was, now I'm grieving the loss of myself. And then I'm grieving, why did I make such a bad decision? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not beating down on no woman. Trust me, because we all go through these issues where we got to be so damn strong. And the one time we make a mistake, we just beat ourselves up over it. And we don't show ourselves the grace that we deserve, because guess what? We ain't never had grace shown to us. We got to take grace. This is us taking grace. Y'all ever hear them talk about saving grace? This is us taking some grace now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? Because here I am stuck again. And now you're lucky if you have a supportive partner who can talk you through it, because we got some women who have this going on and they have partners who have no emotional intelligence, no coof, and they like get up and clean this damn house. You sleeping too much. You ain't cooking. You this, you that. And then core beliefs start popping up. I'm worthless. I ain't good for nothing, because he's saying I ain't good for nothing, or whoever you're living with, whether that be a man or a woman, you know, and you over here hearing people say crazy shit to you constantly while you over here having thoughts about killing yourself or killing the baby, burning the whole house up, you know, what would make this easy for this all to go away? You know, that's the reality of what's going on here. And so, sisters, we need to talk about it, because you are enough and you're valuable. And somebody love you. Black Sister Talk love you. And I want you to know that.
This is serious.
It is.
I love her.
The aspect of men, it's so many men who don't understand postpartum. They, it's the triggers, you know, you're going through the woes of having a baby, and it's like, no, it's a lot more deep than that, and I need your support. But like you said, if they're not emotionally in tune and they're not aware, they don't know what to do. It literally took my daughter's father until last year to say, I really just realized that she was depressed. And I'm like, my God, she's four. Like, she's about to
right?
be four. And you, like, you literally are just now figuring this out, that I needed your help. But I still need your help now. But you still aren't, you don't grasp the concept of what I'm truly going through, because it's not something that's talked about. He really thought it was just like, I just didn't want to be around people. And I'm like, no. These kids very well could have been in somebody else's home because of what I was feeling and what I was going through. And it's like, no, you really, it's really complex. And it's, there's no time frame on when it ends and when, you know, you start to feel better. You can't say in 6 months you'll feel better. That's not it. It's not.
Yeah, I love how open and transparent everybody is, because we need to say, LaWanda, I love what you said, even about just mentioning it, and we should correct this. We have to take our grace. We have to take our grace. Why does it feel like we have to take everything? You know, if we want to be heard, we have to take everything. But yet everybody runs to us for the healing, the support, for everything. And we're there. We put on our case and jump right into position. But why would we have to take everything? Why is it that, you know, you can be right next to me and see me crying and not know that I'm depressed? You see me suffering and not understand, you know, I'm hurting.
You know why, sis? Because it's a learned behavior. Because we seen mom, big mom, mama, grandma, nana, nana, whatever you calling grandma and mama, and they and your great-great-grandmas, and the stories that are passed down and what you see. You've seen, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a single family home for the most part until my mom,
me too,
you know, I accept that. But what I can say to you guys is this. If you have seen your mom cry, I bet you she hurried up and got herself together like she was a cadet in the drum line or in
ROTC
or in the Army or something. I'm sure she got right in line, about face, and wiped her tears. Yes, baby, what you need? Okay, I'll be there in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Rarely did my mom ever sit down and talk to me about her disappointments and the things that made her sad, because she didn't feel like she needed to explain that to me. I was a kid, right? But seeing your mama cry, you instantly want to go and console her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I right or wrong? So when we don't see our parents showing emotions or having these conversations, we still blind. Mama going through something, she ain't explaining nothing to me, and now I'm a grown woman, and I'm trying to figure out how to be in a relationship with a man, and how to be courted or how to date, or, you know, how to value myself. And so when you are in the process of having a baby in your womb, I'm sure these are the questions and thoughts that come to mind. How did I get here? Does this man love me? And, you know, is he supportive? A lot of the times these women are going through these pregnancies alone, rubbing their belly like, man, how am I finna do this? If life wasn't hard already. Come on, sister, are you not grieving the person that you thought you was going to be? Damn, my dreams, my at least if I had dreams, they was a little bit more attainable. And I'm not saying because you have a kid you can't accomplish nothing. I'm just saying when you have children, things a little bit more complicated.
It
makes it real complicated, depending on what your socioeconomic status is and the support system you have around you. It can make it feel very much like I'm suffocating, like I'm very much in an elevator and I can't get out because I only got this much room to move. Yeah.
Listen,
exactly.
Everything you're saying is correct. It's correct in a sense of, I know I watched my mom, and my famous line to her still to this day is, you made it look easy. You had three kids. You raised kids that weren't yours biologically, and you made it look easy. You know, when you see people and you see stuff online and it says, you know, those women who that are strong, they go in the shower and they cry and they never let their kids see you cry. Oh, no, I need to see you cry because I need to understand. I want to know what you're going through. I want to hear you talk to me about it so that when I go through it, it's not a shock to me that somebody else or if I'm going through it, I don't feel like I'm alone because I've never seen anybody else go through it. I feel like that the stigma of hiding things and not being, you know, I don't feel like you need to be, how do you say this, 100%, you know, transparent with your kids, but have the conversations when they're age appropriate of depression and, you know, the trials and tribulations of raising children on your own and, you know, all of these things of how to break, you know, how to have your household ran. Have those conversations, those tough conversations with your kids because it opens their eyes and it doesn't leave them clueless.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I wish that my mom didn't display so much strength for her girls. My mom raised four girls on her own and she too made it look easy. So we took on those same characteristics and traits and motherhood because that's what we saw. So, you know, we led by example because that was the examples that we had, you know. So we continued to do those. We led in our own house based on examples that we had. And I was just sitting here as we were talking. I wish we had this platform 20 years ago, you know, when I was raising children so I could have prepared them better, you know, for life because I, too, was that strong mother, had to hold everything down, had to be there, had to be everything for everybody, had to cry in the shower, couldn't let nobody. That was heavy. I carried a lot of heaviness for no reason, you know, just not really knowing that I can't do it all. And I'm still, to this day, unlearning some of those behaviors, like, you know, letting things go, you know, or unlearning or recognizing that I cannot save everyone. I cannot be there for every, you know, cry or boo-boo for the kids. Like, I can't. You know, I have to get to my space. I don't want to be continue to go through life taking grace. Like, you know, it's over for that. So thanks, ladies, for sharing that because this is really making me think, and I'm going to be sharing it as well with the people around me because this is necessary information. We need this.
Absolutely.
I just think
so
about
I just
that,
really
you
appreciate
know.
This conversation. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you good, cuz. And I appreciate you and every other lady that's on the line and those who be listening either right now live or later. But, you know, that taking grace, it just hits different when you have to say that out loud. Like, I have to take grace. I have to show up. I have to fight for what's mine, you know. And I have to learn to set boundaries because so many times things happen around you, and I hate to bring up this Will Smith and Chris Rock thing, but, you know, folks is looking at how Chris Rock responded, and they're like, oh, you responded so well, but do we forget about how no response can also seem or show up as shock? Like, I'm shocked I even am going through this. Like, I'm standing still. I'm a passenger in my body right now. What is this? What is happening? And so to eliminate that and to be able to take your grace is to set boundaries, because this also comes to humiliation. Don't get me talking about this reproductive abuse that is occurring with these men who trap us women. Yeah, can y'all believe that women are being trapped by men? I'll be the first one to let you know.
especially the professional women. Y'all got to watch y'all back and learn to set boundaries, because you have so much to offer, but nobody is actually giving a damn about what you got to offer. They worried about how they can capitalize and be opportunists with the things that you have to offer. So I also want to look at that, too, when we talk about this topic, because, yes, it is to conceive a child, but what happens to lead us up to these things? Because you got 9 months to do a whole lot of priming, prepping, and preparation, right, for this baby. And then one day when you have to give birth, that whole time, even before you have the child, you're experiencing depression. It don't just happen once you give birth all the time. Ladies, we have about 9 minutes before we have our top of the hour. So does anybody want to chime in? I love y'all. To y'all who know me, I love how y'all send me. I love how y'all send me little texts and messages during the show talking about some for real, preach. These dirty men take from you and hinder you from being the best you can be. Yes, you are right, sis. Yes, you are so right. That is a part of the process. But as women, we have to set boundaries and strong boundaries with these men, because we set the tone for the situation. Baby, you the prize. You are the prize. Trust me, you are the prize. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it, sisters. You are the prize. And what you got, he wants. And I guarantee you, the longer you don't give him your goodness, your essence, the longer you're going to have that partner wrapped around your finger. Because what I do know about men, they do not like when they can't win. And as long as they can't win, they're going to keep playing the game, baby. But the second that they win the game, baby, you ain't going to hear from their partner. He's going to be acting like you just another trophy. You know how killers and mass murderers go around here and they collect trophies from the folks they didn't kill, baby? That's how these men be looking at us. They be like, oh, I took that down, add her on my badge of honor. You just another badge of honor. These men are out here behaving like little boys while you over here letting him know exactly what you want. And once he find out what he needs to find out about you, baby, he good as gone. These men got short attention span. I'm giving them all ADHD. I ain't going to say I'm giving them all ADHD, but I'm giving most of them ADHD, baby. Most of them ADHD. And don't get me started on this male patriarchal society where most of these men have narcissistic points of view and behaviors. That's another topic. We ain't gonna
start that. Is another topic.
But that's very much
that is another topic, cousin. That is another topic. But you know what? Even with all of that, I know we started with postpartum depression. But I wanted to add with that, what I'm recognizing is, you know, a lot of these men have daddy issues too. You know, they try to shame our women and, you know, all years, lack of daddy issues and all of that. But, you know, where was your daddy? What did he teach? You know, because y'all out here really operating. Who told y'all? Because what? This is a result of who raised you. So they run into each other, you know what I'm saying? The love that they looking for from their daddy, they getting it from their homies, you know, like, it's, what is that?
Girl, listen, we don't have a whole...
Yeah, it's so backwards because of our culture. And, you know, we have to really stop pointing the finger at each other and go and get that counseling. I think every black man and every black woman needs to be in some kind of counseling or therapy, you know, some kind of counseling or therapy. We need it. You know, we've been raised by people who were traumatized. A lot of our parents were single parents. That wasn't easy. We know how we go through a breakup or a heartache or what they felt, that same thing. And it changed them, and however it did. Then they raised children. You know, they raised children with a defense mechanism.
How about using your kids as leverage? Yeah, we're gonna talk about this in a future show, because this is, that's a whole nother can of worms, and I want to stay on this topic on the postpartum, but I do want to let you guys know that this comes from an inception of things, and it has to do with the emotion.
and the thought process that comes behind your feelings that you're not expressing to so we can show you some grace and help to validate you and let you know what you are experiencing is real. And here is some help, because I am telling you that you don't want to be sitting at home going through this and not knowing that there is a name for what you are experiencing. You do not want that to be your reality, because it would be so heartbreaking to see someone lose their life or harm their child because they didn't get any help and they were ignorant to what was going on with them. I know we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Anyone else want to chime in before we go to the top of the hour?
I do. My name is Renee. I'm calling from Milwaukee. I went through postpartum depression with my daughter. I was in a relationship with her dad, and I just was miserable. I had my baby, and he just made the situation worse. Like, I never thought, because I always wanted a girl, so when I was having a girl, you think, oh, you're going to be excited. Like, I was excited to have the baby, but once she was born, it just was like, what are you doing? Like, he just made me so miserable. And then I was like, this can't be my life. Like, I couldn't even be, you know, when you have a baby, you should be happy. It's a joyous occasion. I didn't feel that. I just didn't feel that. It just was like, it was the most horrible time. And then fast forward, I watched her go through the same thing when she had her baby. She went through a real bad bout of postpartum depression as well. And it's like, you want your kids to be in a better situation, then you don't want to watch them go through the same thing that you went through.
And I appreciate you for coming in, Ms. Renee, and sharing, because it's not something that I could imagine, first of all, you not even wanting to experience it. Probably didn't even know what it was when it was happening. But then to see your baby going through, I know that had to be very heartbreaking. And I'm wondering if you had an opportunity to talk to her and educate her a little bit more on what it was, and give her some words of advice on how to get help.
Yes and no. I just tried to be as strong as I could for her. She was 19 and you know, just having a newborn. I just tried to be her shoulder she could cry on, because I felt her pain. Eventually, you know, she got past it. She's past it now. She ended up contacting her doctor. So they ended up putting her on an antidepressant. And she can feel like when she's through that again, so then she'll start taking her antidepressant. And I can kind of tell now when it's affecting her, because her whole mood has changed. Like, normally she's, like, this happy-go-lucky, bubbly-type person. And when she's going through it, she doesn't want to be bothered. She can be a little evil. So you kind of pick up on the signs of when something's not right.
Wow.
So how did it feel watch your daughter go through it? As
it was
a mother
rough.
Who's already...
It definitely was rough. The things that's different was she was in a better relationship than what I was with her dad. Her and her son's father, they have a great, at that time, they had a great relationship. They got along. He was there every step of the way, from pregnancy to childbirth, whereas with her dad, like, we stayed into it, like, my whole 9 months from thing to the day that I went in labor. I wasn't even with him. I was at my mama's house. We got into it while I was in labor. He left, came back right before she was born. So I definitely noticed the different scenarios, whereas with her, you know, me, him, me and her son's father, we both was in the room. So it just was totally different. Like, I could give her a little bit of advice, but I definitely knew the pain that she was going through. And as a parent, you just never want your kids to go through the same things that you went through. You want them to experience better.
Absolutely. Let me ask this, Ms. Renee. When you were going through this, what did you do to get through it?
Of course I got through it, but it was just like so long. I just think eventually me and him ended up being in separate rooms. Like, we didn't even sleep in the same bed together. And I think that's kind of what helped me. Just not being in the same room with him. I actually ended up being in the room that was my daughter's room. And so just being able to focus more time on her and less time being around him, because it got to be, you know, she got to be so negative. And at that time, like, the apartment building we were staying in, it was a lot of young girls. So they were attracted to him. I can remember before I even had my daughter, one of the girls came and knocked on the door. Like, I was like 9 months pregnant, waddling, due any day, to tell him that she just broke up with her boyfriend. Well, that started the whole fight between me and him, because I'm like, what is this? Like, this can't be real right now. So it's just, I just kind of separated myself. He was in one room, and the only time we really interacted is if we had to. And then I ended up going back to work. So that was like my outlet as well, because at the time I was working at an elementary school. So I got to be around, you know, other kids, versus it gave me time to not think about my problems that were going on at home.
Understandable. Sister, you strong. That's what I want you to know. You strong, because this is what we're talking about right now. The fact that when stuff is happening to us, we have to figure out a way to get through it. We have to figure out a way to distract our minds to get through it, because the stuff is unreal. That sister knocking at your door, I don't know what other way you could have responded.
I just think if the mindset I have now at 45, if I had that mindset at 26, because I was 26 when I had my daughter, I probably would have had my daughter in jail. Because you coming to my door to say what?
Exactly.
But again, I was so young and naive and dumb then, it just didn't register to me like, this girl really just don't appreciate her life. So again, I know right now, if a chick came to my door and said that about my boyfriend, it's going to be some problems. You finna do what? So it's all, you know, I'm appreciative to the growth I have now, but I wish I had this same growth when I was in my 20s and early 30s. I probably wouldn't have went through a lot of the stuff that I went through.
Exactly, sis. I feel that. Ladies, does anyone else want to ask Ms. Renee anything? Well, Ms. Renee, I definitely appreciate you sharing, and I want you to stick around right after our top of the hour, ladies. We are going to take a little break, and then we will come back and continue this discussion. I love you all, and I'm very happy that we're here together.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused, it was hell. Hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
please, no one above you.
You all appreciate it. Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was giving. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know
and dear mama,
please, no one above
you. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me. And all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
dear mama.
Place no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
dear mama. Dear mama.
I wanna scream so loud for you, cause I'm so proud of you. And let me tell you what I'm about to do, mama. I know I act a fool, but I promise you I'm going back to school. I appreciate what you allow for me, and I just want you to be proud.
I wanna tell the whole world about a friend of mine. This little light of mine, I'm finna let it shine. I'm finna take y'all back to them better times. I'm finna talk about my mama if y'all don't mind. I was 3 years old when you and I moved to the shy. Late December, harsh winter gave me a cold. You picked me up something that was good for my soul. Famous homie chicken soup, can I have another bowl? You work late nights just to keep on the lights. Mommy got the training wheel so I could keep on my bike. And you would give me anything in this world. Michael Jackson left the and the glove, but didn't get me on curl. And you never put no man over me. And I love you for that, mommy, can't you see? 7 years old, caught you with tears in your eyes. Cause the nigga cheating, telling your lies. Then I started to cry as we knelt on the kitchen floor. I said, mommy, I'ma love you till you don't hurt no more. And when I'm older, you ain't gotta work no more. And I'ma get you that mansion that we couldn't afford. See, you're unbreakable, unmistakable, highly capable. Lady, that's making loot, a living legend too. Just look at what heaven do. Then it's an angel, and I thank you, mama. I wanna scream so loud for you, cause I'm so proud of you. And let me tell you what I'm about to do, mama. I know I act a fool, but I promise you I'm going back to school. I appreciate what you allow for me, I just want you to be proud of me. What's up, mama said? Life is like a box of chocolates. My mama told me go to school, get your doctorate. Something to fall back on, you could profit with. But still supported me when I did the opposite. Now I feel like it's things I gotta get, things I gotta do, just to prove to you, you was getting through. Can the choir please give me a verse to you? Are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? You're like a book of poetry. Maya Angelou, Nikki Giovanni. Turn one page and dance my mommy. Come on, mommy, just dance with me. Let the whole world see your dancing feet. Now when I say hey, y'all say mama. Now everybody answer me. Come on. You gon' get that benzo, tint the windows, ride around the city and let your friends know. Tell your job you gotta fake them out. Cause you brought me in this world, let me take you out. To a restaurant, upper echelon. I'ma get you a Jag, whatever else you want. Just tell me what kind of S-type Don the West like. Tell me the perfect color so I make it just right. It don't gotta be Mother's Day or your birthday for me to just call and say, mama, I wanna scream so loud. You, cause I'm so proud of you. And let me tell you what I'm about to do. You know I love you so, I never let you go. Wrote this song just so you know, no matter where you go, my love is true.
Stress affects us all differently. When I'm feeling stressed, I just need to talk it out. But it wasn't always like that for me. Not until a friend told me to give therapy a try. Did you know that therapy provides you with a sounding board to make the best choice you can make? Or that therapy provides you with a space to deal with stressors? And that you decide the goals you want to work on? And most importantly, that you are not crazy because you speak with a therapist or ask for help. Therapy can change your perspective. Be the change and break the cycle by reaching out to a licensed mental health professional at Lifting Individuals Forward Everyday Counseling Services. Check out their website, lift-ife.com, or give them a call at 414-830-3001 to book an appointment. They even have flexible office hours to fit your schedule because they're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself.
Healing Through Art, sponsored by Black Sister Talk. Join our art group and heal while doing with a licensed professional counselor. Black Sister Talk groups discuss a monthly topic to increase self-care and unplug from the world virtually. Group costs $75 per month and includes paint by number art canvas, easel, and paint. All supplies will be shipped to you prior to the group, and a link will be provided through email. To enroll in the group, send an email to blacksistertalk@gmail.com or a DM to Black Sister Talk on Instagram with name and an expression of interest in art group, and we will provide you the rest of the details from there.
It sounds like you're tired of not being heard. If so, follow Black Sister Talk on Instagram and send us a DM with your thoughts. Or become a patron by going over to Patreon and adding Black Sister Talk. For my people that don't do social media, reach out to us at our email, blacksistertalk@gmail.com. Or join us on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time by dialing 516-418-5674. We would love to hear from you. Remember, we do this for you so you can breathe, breaking the stigma one conversation at a time.
Yes, ladies. Ladies, we are back. We are back. I hope y'all had a good time jamming while we were on break. I hope you had an opportunity to reflect on some of the things that we have already talked about thus far. I want to thank Miss English, Tiffany, Renee for sharing with us. And I want to hear some more from you ladies. This is a place for us to breathe. So let's breathe. Let's talk about it. Because you're not alone and there is no shame around this subject. You are helping women who are going through this and preparing women who may go through this so they are able to recognize what this is before it happens. Most of the time we go through stuff and we like, if I say something about this, people going to think I'm crazy. But this is the one place you can say things and ain't nobody going to say, hey, girl, you crazy. You're not going to get the kind of feedback here. This is a validation. Hey, Alexis, can y'all hear me? Y'all unmuted? Does anyone want to chime in?
No, girl.
Yeah, LaWanda, I wanted to say something.
Yes, go ahead, sis. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I wanted to speak on what Miss English and Tiff spoke about quickly. I guess about the part of postpartum, about like when Tiff was saying, you know, I wish my mom, you know, would have showed us, you know, more than always being that superhero type of stigma. What I want to speak on is that I understand and associate with that well, and it's funny because a few people who know me here on the line know my mom, and professionally, you know, she is absolutely a phenomenon, and she always looked like she had it all together at all times. At all times, even when we knew it was bad, Mama, you know, made it well. And I'm in my early 40s, and she's in her mid-70s now, and all she keeps saying is, you know, I wish I would have told you girls to, you know, take more time for yourself. It was always about work, 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 and education and being able to be your best and taking care of yourself and this and that. And you girls don't pause, and you girls don't do this. And she said, that's me. She said, I did that, and I wish I could undo that. She was like, and, you know, when things get hard for us, you know, my mom's like, can I help? And, nah, Mom, we got it. And she's like, you don't ever accept help, and you always got it. And I worked hard so that I can help, but that's how you raise us. What you want to do with that now, boo? I'm 4 decades into being able to do it by myself and to be self-sufficient. And even when I'm not, I figure it out because that's what you showed us. And no, we don't need your help because you worked hard so that you can now have a prosperous life that we are proud of you to have. So that's definitely something that is a learned behavior, and I see it. Like, I see it and I resonate with, because when the harder life gets, the more people try to help me, the harder I go. Because I don't need nobody help. I got it. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. And 2 full jobs and going to school. Yep. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Because that's what we knew. And that's what we were taught. And that's what we were understood. So, you know, having that kind of stress as a mother to make sure that your children have everything, but more importantly, see you doing everything, it's a beautiful thing. But I also think it's a beautiful thing, like Tiffany and English were discussing, on how we want to also show our daughters and our sons that it's okay to break down, because how do you break down if you don't know how to get back up? We only see the getting up. We only see, I for a very long time, I didn't know how poor we were. You couldn't have told me we were poor. Uh-huh. I had no idea that my mother was struggling the way she was struggling until I was an adult. Because nothing never came undone. And if it did, by the time it was undone, she done fixed it. You know what I mean? Like, I had no idea until I was old enough. Until I was old enough to be like, damn, Mama, hey, Ma, you know when that was going on? She was like, oh, yeah, I like this about to get cut off. She's like, but I didn't get a winter jacket that year so that I could pay. Wait, what? She said, you don't remember that? I didn't have a coat that year. I just wore some of your sister's old hoodies. I wore like 2 of them. What?
Come on. Say that.
You know what I'm saying? So now that I am a full-grown woman and I am, you know, going through things, and I'm just like, good Lord, this is a lot. You know what I'm saying? And I feel a way because I don't have any biological children. And I'm like, Ma, how was you doing this with me and my, you know, she took care of my grandmother, you know what I'm saying? We know how that is. A lot of, in our culture, our people don't go to homes. They go to the oldest sibling's house or the sibling who has it most together gets your mama and your daddy. And that was my mother. So my mother had me, who was, if y'all know me now, you just imagine me completely unchained and untamed. I was a lot. I'm a lot now. I was a lot as a child. My sister, you know, was a regular teenager. She had my grandmother who had mental health issues. Then she was a black woman who was prominent in her career, where it was nothing but white women who couldn't understand how this black woman with no husband still had the same education. We didn't live in the hood. We lived in the suburbs. We were the only black family in Glendale 30 years ago. If you're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know the Baylor's family, the ones who sell watermelon. It was my family and them in Glendale.
Yeah.
In the 90s. What, no other black family. They were confused. How this black woman over here by herself with no husband, both children in private schools, 2 cars in the garage, huh? Everybody was confused besides me and my sister. You know what I'm saying? But I say all that to say I don't know how she did it. Because I'm struggling every day, about to lose my shit every day. And no matter what, I can't do nothing about it because I better tighten up. That's what I was talking. You better tighten up. You better get it done and call it a day. And that's a hard thing to unlearn. And then I see my mother struggling, because when she sees me and my sister struggling, all she says is, I didn't prepare you, girl. She said, I prepared y'all to live in this white world. I didn't prepare you guys to give yourselves grace. And I see
that
she is so upset. She's so upset about it, and I can't feel no kind of way about it because I'm still in the throes of life. My UBI, because I got to go do this. Oh, Stephanie, you know, why don't you just do that next week? I got to get this done because of that. So I am trying my best to unlearn what I personally feel. It's probably a lost cause for me. I am working on it, but that's hard because that's all I know, and right now I'm still in the throes of achieving some things, so nope, I don't have time to. I don't have that moment to breathe. But that's definitely a postpartum type of longevity unlearned thing, because like you guys said, all you did was watch your moms go, 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 and that's all you knew, and that's all you showed your daughters and your sons. and it's a different kind of generational curse, it's harmful, but it's not. It's nothing wrong with having a determination to get it all done. The problem is that we get to the point where our health, like my mom had to get her knees replaced in her 50s because of how hard you was on your legs. Come on now. Both your knees?
Say that.
So now she yells at me. Are you eating your vegetables? Are you drinking more water? Why are you still up at 2? Do you see what that did to me? I do see what it does to you, but I got a deadline for work. Talk to you tomorrow, Ma. Period. You know, I'm not doing any better. I'm not doing any better. I'll admit it quickly. I hear it. I see what my sister, you know, my sister had gallbladder, you know, all kind of health issues because we were working too hard. And it's in us. It's in us as Black women, and it's really going to take some time. I try to do better with my sisters, my younger sisters. I give them into my life and show them, hey, I want you guys to work smarter, not harder. I want you guys to learn about IRAs. I want you guys to learn about your retirement. I want you guys to start saving in your 30s. Our community, we wait so late because we don't know, because we're always in the moment. So because I feel that I am not going to follow directions because that's also who I am as a person, I definitely try to pay it forward with the younger ladies in my life and be like, okay, you see how I'm that shit crazy? I want to try to do like 10% better. Do this differently. Do pay attention to this differently. Be mindful of this. Be mindful of your body and things of that nature, because they see that. And, you know, I keep saying it'd be too late for me. It's not too late for me. But, you know, they have a chance to get started on something at an earlier age than I was afforded because of, you know, just how I was raised. So that was a very long comment, but I genuinely felt English and Tiffany with that, because it was like seeing our mom, we just duplicated what she did, different generation. Oh, you got 2 degrees, we got 3, boom. Okay, own a house by 30, boom. Like, you know, we made sure that we did what we had to do because that's what we were shown, that's what we were told, and that's what we saw. And, you know, then the other part of the world shows you, you know, because they don't have your back in, you know, most professions. And Black women don't get paid as much as white women. And white women don't get paid as much as white men. So, you know, in our minds, we saw what our mothers went through. So we're trying to make sure that we are doing as well as she or as better just to be okay in life. Because then you look at the other part of society and you have to, because you're already so far on the totem pole just because of who you are. So it's a natural thing, but it's in one way or the other. And that's unfortunate. But I'm going to go back on mute now, but English and Tiff, y'all hit that one. I felt that, like, deeply in my soul.
Steph,
I will tell you.
You are
yes.
Right on the way. I just, you know, that really just really strung up some things with me, even with my own kids. Like, I need to reach back even now, you know, and let them know, you know, this is not easy. And kudos to your mom, because that's not an easy job. I was listening to you. I'm like, dang, her mama sound like me. I'm like, you know, and it's not easy. It's not easy.
It's,
you know,
not easy, kids, right.
And when you said that, girl, when you hit the, by the time, if it does come undone, by the time, you know, you recognize it, she's already to fix the problem. You know, girl, I felt that in my soul, honey.
Yeah. Because it's a reality. It really is, you know, it happens just that easily. And it was just when you said that about your daughters, you were like, yeah, I did that with my daughters. It made me think about my mom. Anytime, like, I'm stressed and I'm upset about work or, you know, something, she's just like, oh, baby, you need a vacation. I'm like, Mom, you know, a vacation? Do you even know what that word means? Like, I'm offended with how she is just being in awe with how we work. And I'm like, since the woman who woke us up, we can't watch Soul Train because we got to get up and get dressed to go to the Urban League meeting at 9 o'clock with you on a Saturday. Now you want somebody to take a vacation? Ma'am, I'm going to need for you to have a seat. Like, it tickles me because I see how concerned she is. And then she's like, I did that. Like, I literally see that if she sees me and my sister working or doing too much, it's just, you know, exhausting us. And she's just like, I did that. I'm like, you did. You raised 2 children who aren't addicted to anything that we can't help. they can pay our own bills. You did, Mama. Good job. You know, she's like, oh, don't give me that. I'm just like, Ma, I don't know what you want. Like, either you want us to work hard to get the job done or not. Like, I mean, I get the full picture, but life is rough, and I appreciate her being a kind of mom. But I also understand, you know, Tiff, where you're coming from. Like, wow, I wish it was a different kind of balance I could have showed them as well. Because it's not. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And I'm grateful I have friends like LaWanda and another really close friend of mine, Taylor, who stay on me about that. Like, you know, hey, what did you do for you today? Hey, shut up. You know, what do you mean? But, you know, it's mindful. You know, it's great to have people that are mindful and, you know how hard you work and also know that you don't stop. So it's also – it also means having a good circle. You know what I'm saying? People who are aware and love you enough to call you out on your own. LaWanda and I do that daily. She's forever on me and I'm forever on her. Like, oh, did you do this? Oh, well, did you do this, ma'am? Why, you worried about that? I take a moment, you know. But that's a beautiful thing because do we have that? Do you have people who are accountable for you when you aren't accountable for you for even the pleasant things that you need in your life? Because they may know some of your history enough to know that she's not going to take that moment to breathe. I have to remind LaWanda all the time, she's in such a go mode. Did you take a moment to acknowledge how wonderful that was? And she's like, I know, sis, but the next meeting, that's great. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we're so busy trying to hit that next, you know, mountaintop of whatever we're working on, that, like, sometimes you don't even stop in a moment because you can't stop in a moment because you're going. It's not that I don't understand, but just how she gives to me, I have to give that back to her. Like, hey, now you're syndicated. You're on Apple. You're on iHeartRadio. You know, this is not, you know, this is not just a thing. This is a thing, you know, and take a moment to breathe that in. Like, we need that all the way around, all the way around.
You better say that, sis, yeah. While I'm over here eating this apple a day to keep that doctor away. But that's just what it is. So it's what it is, watching strong black women breeding other strong black women and really not understanding what this phenomena is because you're in it and this is what you have been trained and conditioned to do because they already know how hard our lives are going to be when we step outside our family and we are entering the real world. I remember at a young age, my grandma, you know, my grandma and them come from the South. My Aunt Luella died at about 115, y'all. Can y'all believe it? What a blessing. But she was such a mean person, y'all. She was such a mean person. Lived on the sharecropper's land and enslaved my grandma and them. So they came to Chicago during a great migration explaining to me, like, baby, we didn't get no education. You're going to have to work 10 times as hard as everybody and anybody. And even though you at this school with all of these black kids, you in the celebrated program. So you got to be the best, okay? And that was instilled in me. So that drive comes from some conditioning that folks would never understand. That drive comes from folks in my family not having education, knowing how to read, how to write, how to make stuff happen. But they had enough sense to say, baby, you're going to learn how to do these computers. You don't need to do number read these books. You won't need to go outside and play all the time. You know, just really trying to put into me what they didn't have an opportunity to do. That's why when we talk about being your ancestors' wildest dreams, like this is what this comes from, conditioning and having some people who didn't really know what they were doing, but having enough sense to say to me, you need to get your shit together, LaWanda, because you ain't going to have no fallback plan. And if you have kids, I'm telling y'all, I don't have kids right now to this day because it has always been about making sure you put yourself in the best position you can. So when you do decide to settle down and have children, you're not thinking about this or that and this. And I have to be honest with you guys, it has been stressful trying to make all the right decisions so that I don't have to experience certain things because life is fucking hard. And the stuff that we do can really put us in some situations. So I definitely understand where you're coming from, sis. I hope that's on the line. I understand where I'm coming from because it's lonely. it's lonely in these streets. Folks can never really understand you, and half the time folks can never love you the way you want to be loved, and nor do you know that always, and nor do you know how to communicate that all the time. So this is serious. This is serious. And to bring a child in the world and already have these feelings of anxiety and uncertainty just adds another layer of how am I going to survive? You know, that's what my company life is all about, learning how to live, not just survive. Because we all trying to survive, but how do we learn how to live? How do we learn how to live with these things? How do we learn how to make the changes and adjust? Because shit happens, right? It does. It does happen. But how are we going to recoup, regroup, and move forward? Because it's not the end-all, be-all. It's not the end-all, be-all. Ladies, does anyone else want to chime in? We have about, I want to say, 20 minutes left before the show is over, and I want to hear your voices. And I just appreciate you, sis, for being my accountability partner. Let me add that, too. I appreciate you for being that accountability partner. And I love you so much.
You know I got your back like you got mine. I love you, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I encourage you ladies to have an accountability partner as well, especially if you're not ready to get a therapist and get any kind of help. I encourage that. Miss English, do you want to chime in, girl? You've been kind of
quiet. Yes, I've been listening and giving them the floor. So what I want to add is that we definitely, as women, as mothers, have to unlearn some of the behaviors and, you know, traditions that we've seen. Thus, busy mom, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to acknowledge the feelings that you're feeling if you're not okay. It's okay to say that. And I feel like we oftentimes have a hard time doing that. You know, we see, like, you know, me, for instance, I saw my mom be the busy mom and, you know, work the jobs, run the business and, you know, help everybody else and be there for everybody else. And I looked up and I realized about, I want to say a year or two ago, I never watched my mom take a vacation when we were kids. I watched her work. I didn't see her take a moment. The breaks that we saw her take were like us going to my aunt's house over the summer. Well, that really wasn't a break because she was working, you know. So it's weird because it's learned behavior. You know, you learn it. It's like we mothers, we hustle, we bustle, we do all these different things. But I just really encourage us to take a minute, you know, self-reflect. And if you aren't okay, it's okay to say that. It's okay to say that, sit in it, and move forward with a plan to be better. And it's so many other women out here who are going through things and have similar stories, and we just have to continue to love on one another. So I just posed the question of what are you guys doing for, you know, self-care when you are feeling those things? What are you doing to make yourself feel better?
I just take myself to a better environment. You know, if I'm not, sometimes I lose myself in music and my wine. That's my happy place. Or either I surround myself with people that I really know that really loves me. You know, I'll go because at that point, you know, I need that. So I just put myself in different environments. And
that
usually changes my mood.
That is absolutely okay. The glass of wine, I think, definitely saves a lot of kids. It saves a lot of people. I am here for it. That's definitely a form of self-care, and that's okay. And putting yourself in a different space, a different mental space, that those are all forms of self-care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Does anyone else want to share what they're doing for self-care? How are you pouring back into yourself? We do a lot of pouring onto others. Ladies, I know we ain't stumped here and not unsure how we taking care of ourselves because it's so. I challenge you to take a break. and let's figure that out.
But I think that's part of the question that you guys are posing, because self-care, I'm very much aware because of you and my sisters and my mom and things of that nature. But to be honest, no, I don't always pour into myself with self-care. I know I need to, but it's part of what we're just talking about. I have things to do. I have people depending on me. And, yeah, I already know everything he's going to say next. What if you don't take care of yourself? How can you take care of others? Yeah, all that sounds good and well. I breathe when I can, and I do. For me, sometimes it's just being happy to sleep in. My boss is on the line. Sometimes I'm happy that I can do some of my work from home and in my bed. That's my self-care. I didn't have to drive through the crazy traffic to get some of my work done. Like, sometimes we just don't have to pick and choose. And I don't mean, like, forever, but I mean that's just reality. That's absolutely reality. I'm a very boozy type. I need the spa. I want it all. I need the cucumbers over my eyes and herbal refreshments and all of the loveliness that comes with it. My budget, my soul, my time may not agree with my self-care moment. And sometimes that's just what it is. And sometimes this self-care moment might be for somebody that's maybe going to the grocery store without their kids, because kids and the cereal aisle is stressful. So maybe somebody doesn't realize that is a self-care moment for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people might not be able to answer because where they are in their life, because I feel it. I am as busy and professional and as spoiled as I can be, and I recognize that. And I'm all here for the self-care. I wish I could have more self-care, but to be honest, the way life is set up right now, no, ma'am. I'm at work right now, and I'm also driving and running errands because I got things to do. And that's just my honest reality. So some people might be quiet because, self-care? What? Make it make sense. Girl, I got things to do. Self-care, I'm ready. To bed early. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's real life.
And I'm glad you brought up that.
I can resonate with that. And I pose that question because I, too, am, you know, a professional just like y'all. So I get it. But what we have to acknowledge is that those 5 or 10 minutes of peace that you get, whether it's in the car without the kids, with the radio off, or that trip to the grocery store without the kids, those are moments of self-care, and they add up, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. We beat ourselves down because what we visualize as when we see people be able to go to the spa and, you know, they have a full day of self-care and, you know, their time, we don't see our moments of self-care as self-care because that's what we're visualizing. And it's okay to, you know, have that as an ultimate goal, you know, as a form of self-care. But if you can, and I know our schedules are busy, and I often, the way I get mine for my full days is I plan them. I will book a hotel, and it'll be a day. I don't care if it's just a night. This past, a few weeks back, I only got a night to myself. And when I say night, I mean 6 hours in a hotel room by myself. And I had dinner. But it wasn't planned, but most times I plan it. I plan a night at the hotel or, you know, just a day without my kids to go somewhere. But those are planned things. But if I need it in the spare of the moment where the day is just hectic, I'm going to find 10 minutes. Even if it's me closing myself in the bathroom, those kids going to keep calling my name, honey, and I want to change my name someday. But you have to take those times because when I tell you dealing with postpartum, you feel that pressure of feeling inadequate, feeling like you don't have enough time in a day and feeling less than because something is not done and, you know, trying to figure out how to love yourself and love your body. That walk around the block a few times with them kids, that's loving yourself. That's health. That's physical fitness. Those are all things, and we have to remember that we can't discredit those little things.
I would totally, totally agree with you. And the reason the question was posed, because I wanted to hear what people's mindset was around self-care, because self-care can be those extravagant hotel stays. But self-care isn't just that. It isn't just getting your nails done and your hair done, your feet done, or even money to do something. Self-care can simply be you just taking a moment to deeply breathe. Like, do you know how important it is to just sit down and be still and take some really good deep breaths? Like, that's showing gratitude to our bodies. We have emotional self-care where we just acknowledge our feelings and what we're feeling in the moment instead of not acknowledging our feelings and then having the assumption or the expectation from other folks that they should. We have to care about ourselves the way we want other people to pour into us. They see the way we pour into us by making ourselves a priority. Even if that's like I'm shutting off the phone and I'm not talking to nobody after a certain time, that is self-care for your mental. If you're always talking to people, look at me. I'm a therapist. I talk to people all the time. Do you not know that I cut my phone off at a certain time? I'm not talking to nobody. Getting good rest is a part of self-care. Taking your medications, if you got medications, is a good part of self-care. If you just sit there and stretch for a minute or two, that's good self-care. Like, we want to work on the smaller things before we get to the higher level of self-care. Sitting down and write about your emotions while you take a bath. You know me, I'm one of those double-dipper self-carers. Like, I'm in here, you know, washing my ass is a part of my daily routine. That's what we do because I need to be feeling fresh and clean. But while I'm sitting in there taking that bath in the morning before I work, I'm in there journaling about my feelings. I'm manifesting what I want to see differently because, ooh, I want to be able to go to a hotel and get a massage with cucumbers on me. I'm writing about that. I'm writing about the life I want to have. You ever hear people say you need to be delusional about some things? Well, manifest. And I'm being delusional about a couple of things right now in my privacy. I'm letting my imagination run wild on the things that I desire, not being delusional about situations that don't fit, that just don't make sense, but things that I aspire to do, things that I want, making sure I, you know, talk to a friend every now and again because we still deserve to be social. These are go ahead and inject a little bit of self-care into your day. So I want to hear what ladies are doing of how we even think about self-care because we may be doing it or we may need to improve in little small ways just to start. And I also want to say that you ladies mentioned some good examples, that trip to the store by yourself. That's major. You can get some stuff done. You ain't have to say stop. No, don't do that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Let's not miss those opportunities, ladies, because it starts off small. The thing that I'm going to challenge you guys to do, and you can engage with the social media post after this show, but I want you to take about 5 minutes and write down everything you can do for yourself in 1 minute for self-care, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, and 1 hour. I want you to take 5 minutes to jot down the things that come to your mind that you can do. Because I guarantee you, if you start thinking about it, you can start making those moments to do that. Meditation is a big one. Meditation is so, so important. The small things, ladies, the small things. We have about 10 minutes before the show is over. I want to take this time to thank you, Miss English, for coming on the show and taking the time to talk to us about postpartum depression. And I want you to take this time, Miss English, to let folks know where they can find you at so they can engage with you. But also, come on, y'all. Y'all got some weddings, some graduations, birthdays coming up. You need to go ahead and book Miss English for that catering because that food... Muy bien,
because the macaroni balls, that's what I'm going to say. Because the macaroni balls.
The homemade macaroni with that nice.
Better, Miss English.
I'm just saying,
you
I got a
macaroni
video.
Balls. I'm just saying.
On our Instagram, I just need y'all to know that food was bomb, diddy, dum, bomb, 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 and itis. Means you're going to fall asleep after you get that good bread and butter. Go ahead and book it. You won't regret it.
Listen. Yes, thank you so much. It was definitely a pleasure, honor. I was excited to talk to you ladies today and join you. But if you guys want to follow me, I do have a women's group that I am starting and still in the stages of launching called Women of Wealth. And it is a women's group focused on women who or have suffered with postpartum depression, just to give us a space to talk, to meet, to love on each other. So you guys can find me on Facebook with that group. It's called Women of Wealth, W-E-L-P, with periods in between each letter. For the ITIS for catering, yes, the ITIS is definitely going to be celebrating 4 years, October 1st. If you guys are looking to book, see some food, or just to see where I am for a pop-up shop to come and eat, you can follow me on Facebook at the ITIS and on social, on Instagram at the ITIS Catering. So, yes, I would love to see you guys in person. Yes, I'm excited.
I'm excited as well and can't wait to book you for our next event, Miss English. And I just, again, want to thank you so much for being on the show. And we will be talking soon. You know, we definitely will continue further conversations. You have been added to the Black Sister community, but also my personal community as well. So I love you, sis, and I appreciate you. I want to take these last few minutes, though, before the show is over to give you guys a few updates. And I also want to shout out Treva, our author for this month's book club. She's our future author, and she's also helping us to celebrate National Poetry Month. So I wanted to share one of her poems. I know she's probably online listening and didn't know nothing about it, but I want to go ahead and share one of her poems. And it's called Trauma. I want to scream, yell, and fight. I want to rip my heart into pieces. Too bad that task has already been completed. Since the day I was born, it's been nothing but pain and abuse. I was just a little girl when it all started happening. My mom was too busy running around as if home wasn't made for us. It's crazy because at the same time, I was busy choking. See, I learned how to suck dick at ages 4, 5, and 6. No, it's not something I brag about. My mouth is where he felt it best fit until he discovered my other set of lips that he decided to split, choking till I gagged, forced to swallow. I couldn't even spit. Hand stroking, head in motion, carpet burns, tears flowing, legs so far apart, stabbing pain. The tearing of my hymen after a couple of times, I got used to it. He promised I would. I just became numb to it. It was the normal routine. As his only daughter, my father did everything he could to keep me away from boys, but somehow my brother kept finding me. Time my mom left me unattended, daddy working, building buildings, not knowing his home was being torn down. Walk through my pain, living your truth. It is the only way out. Buy this book, you guys. Buy this book by Treva Gray. My God, today this book has been very, very raw, real, the uncut truth, and it sheds light on the disturbing secrets that our Black family told, and it sheds light on some of the healing that continues to need to be done in this community. Go ahead and engage with Treva's Instagram page at Treva, at Authoress Treva. Definitely something to read about. And she was also on our show last week. So if you're interested in joining the book club, go ahead and reach out to us. We will be able to get that book and join us at our next meeting on the 21st of this month. Before we end the show, I want to end it with a few updates. Some of those updates, we have the paint party for our second year anniversary on April 30th. If you guys are interested in participating, go ahead and DM us or send us an email so we can let you know how to get those tickets, as well as send you information on which pictures we will be using for that event. That event will be on location. So that address will be provided to you once you reach out. We also have the Black Sister Talk Mindset Reset Retreat coming up in June 3rd through June 5th. If you're wanting to stay at the hotel, that's going to be additional cost. If you just wanted to participate in the workshop, those ads will be posted on the social media account so that you're able to interact and engage with us so you can find out more about those tickets. And lastly, I want to let you know if you're interested in running any ads on the show, go ahead and send us a email or a DM, WYB@blacksister.com, so that you're able to get your information out there for your ads. We'll also be having some ads running on the show so you'll know how much that costs and what that looks like. Lastly, I just want to thank everybody for your complete participation in today's show, and I appreciate each and every one of you guys so much. I love you so much, Ms. English. Thank you so much for coming, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Continue to have a blessed day, and I'll see you guys next week when we'll be talking with Ms. Divine. So fine, Ms. Divine. I love you guys. Continue to be encouraged.
It sounds like you're tired of not being heard. If so, follow Black Sister Talk on Instagram and send us a DM with your thoughts. Or become a patron by going over to Patreon and adding Black Sister Talk. For my people that don't do social media, reach out to us at our email, blacksistertalk@gmail.com. Or join us on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time by dialing 516-418-5674. We would love to hear from you. Remember, we do this for you so you can breathe, breaking the stigma one conversation at a time.
I'm not gonna blast you, I'ma let you.